Webcasting to the world, live, the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, December 10th, 2008. The only December 10th, 2008 ever. Welcome in on this Wednesday night. Glad to have you with us. After a week off, back at it, proclaiming God's righteousness for every single human being that ever lived or ever will live. Glad to have you along. Took a week off. I felt a little bad about it, beautiful humans, because coming on the heels of the pledge drive, it's like we went away. But we're back. Have no fear. Underdog is here. Want your participate? What?
I said, or fill in the blank.
that's the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, coming from a very chilly home office in Houston, Texas. Michael Williams, Michael.
Yes, chilly is the word. It's snowing here in Houston.
Well, the weather outside is frightful, my dear, so delightful. You guys might have a white Christmas in Houston.
No way.
No way?
No way. Jeez. No, this is, in March will be 2 years, and I never saw these temperatures, even like at the 2-3 o'clock in the morning temperatures were never this cold. Last winter, so we've had a real winter blast here.
Well, global warming in full effect
in
Houston, Texas. And lots of stuff to talk about. It's amazing how many things happen during the course of a week when you don't do a webcast. I was laid up for the week and spent quite a bit of time watching TV and catching up on the news and watching some of the most insane Christian broadcasting. Just catching up with the so-called opposition. People often ask me, why do you still watch that crap? And I say, I'm like a good coach. You know, I'm watching the game films of the opposition to see what they're saying. And amazingly, if you don't have it, folks, you don't know what you're missing by not having God TV on your cable system or on your satellite system. God TV is the latest and most insane worldwide broadcast effort from this hip young couple in England named Rory and Wendy Alec, who are kind of like an urban yuppie version of Jan and Paul Crouch. They've got a very cool set, not ostentatious like the Crouches have on TVN, but it's the same stuff. Except these guys, what these guys do, Michael, is they will literally, if there's a so-called revival breaking out, like the thing that happened in Lakeland recently or wherever, it doesn't make a difference. They will broadcast the entire thing live, unedited, and so you really get to see things unvarnished. So they come out of their pledge drive, which they were broadcasting live from the Mount of Olives. And of course, if you gave a donation, if you sowed a seed into the soil of God TV, it was especially blessed by God because they were broadcasting live from Jerusalem. And
well, that would do it for sure.
That would do it. And then. Coming right out of that, they went into a promotion called the Season of End Times, or the End Times Season. This is what their theme has been since they did their fundraising drive. And I stumbled on this guy named Barry Smith. And he was a older gentleman from New Zealand, very engaging, teaching the classic rapture, end times, tribulation coming, the whole conspiratorialist, Freemason, the whole enchilada. This guy had it down. I mean, he was very engaging, very good speaker, and it was interesting to watch. And, of course, I was watching to see what things that he would be saying that would be easily disprovable. Now, check this out, folks. This, as I was watching this guy, and some of you may have heard of Barry Smith. I had never heard of him, but he'd been teaching on the end times for decades. And it became apparent that this was an old video. And I'm talking about hours of this guy. It was from Australia that he was teaching. He's from New Zealand. And so eventually it comes out that it was 2002. Now, he first of all, he derides much of the some of the end time teachings that had led up to that point, but he was doing the same thing just in 2002, coming out of September 11th, 2001, with, of course, the attacks in the United States. And Michael, not only did he predict that Saddam Hussein would use chemical and biological weaponry against the United States, that didn't exist, apparently, but he pinpointed Henry Kissinger as the Antichrist, saying that, and he made a strong case that the Antichrist would be a secular Jew, and made the case through Kissinger's name, like you did at the convention, and talked about how Kissinger's name adds up to 666. It was fascinating and funny at the same time. And said that whether it's Kissinger or not, that the man of sin, the Antichrist, will be revealed in our lifetime. So I watched this guy over a couple nights. After the second night, I went to my computer and Googled him. He died in 2002.
Oh, my goodness.
So the Antichrist was not revealed, even though Barry Smith said he would be, said that Saddam Hussein would use weapons of mass destruction against the United States that would make the attacks on 9/11 look like a tea party. We know all this kind of craziness happens, ladies and gentlemen, right? But but they're broadcasting it last night on God TV. What are they thinking, Michael?
Well, I think the moral of the story is thou shall not Google. I mean, see, you found out too much.
There, if you want to Google Barry Smith, beautiful humans, you will be amazed at the references to this guy and a lot of people attacking him for these false predictions. But, you know, it's amazing that here is this most cutting-edge, quote-unquote, Christian broadcasting happening, and they have the chutzpah, the gall, to broadcast stuff that is patently false and yet appealing to people to support them as they teach and preach things that are easily provable to be 100% inaccurate. They must have a very high respect for the intelligence level of their viewers.
Well, of course they don't. In fact, in those doctrines, as we know, you're taught not to think. You're taught to listen and believe. And that your standing with God is based on whether or not you really believe this stuff. So. No, when you were sharing it with me earlier, it certainly didn't surprise me that there's this complete disregard for even a desire to make sure that there's some accuracy in what is being broadcast. They just don't care, you know.
It's amazing. As much of an opportunity, I mean, they are literally broadcasting on 7 continents now and having an incredible impact. In people's lives, and they don't give a rip about the accuracy of what is being shared. But the insanity continues, ladies and gentlemen, and we're happy to be a part of it. We're doing our part, if you will. We want you to do your part by joining us tonight. Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your calls. We're coming to you live from the Glenn Klein Online Studios in a very warm Tampa Bay. We are experiencing global warming, about 82 degrees today. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free number. 1-800-436-3260 if you are listening live anywhere in the world right now, and it's about 9 minutes after the top of the hour, please give us a call. Do you know that they're adding like a second to the time this year?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
I know it's happened before. But.
Yeah, they got to add a second. The Earth is slowing down a little bit, I guess, so they have to make the adjustment in the...
It's warm. It has to slow down a little bit.
Apparently so. It's schwitzing. It's sweating a little bit. 1-800-436-3260. If you'd like to contact us via the email address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com. webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We want to thank everybody that participated in the recently completed fall pledge drive. And we didn't quite hit the 17.5, but we did pretty well. And we appreciate everybody's contribution. And also want to remind everybody that if you did not read your email that came out yesterday, that our duplicating process has been transferred to Don Murphy from Billings, Montana, who's taking over the responsibilities. This is one of the challenges in having a organization that is on a shoestring. And Don is, why don't you explain who Don is and how that's happening and what are the implications right now for folks that are waiting for their CDs?
Well, Don and Judy Murphy have been friends, personal friends of mine for many years and always been supporters of the ministry. I think when I very first met them, their testimony was when they first started listening to the gospel, they actually were homeless and with children. And I tell you what, you want to know a tenacity about supporting what you love. Don and Judy Murphy started supporting Mike Williams Ministries while they were homeless. I mean, homeless. And so their, you know, their dedication has certainly been proven over the years. And they've sponsored a couple of meetings. I mean, even after they had just first gotten into their first mobile home, from literally being being homeless, they sponsored a meeting there and invited me in and made sure that all the bills were paid at the hotel and got the meeting room, and it was just amazing, you know. And Don is, for all means and purposes, retired now and has all of this wonderful time on his hands and has always wanted to do something for the ministry and other than, you know, the things that they've already done, which has been really tremendous. And so when I was trying to think of what to do with Josh, getting to that point where he's having to prepare for college and all of that, and that he's going to have to move on to different things. We won't say better things, because what better good things could you do other than making sure that CDs are ready for spreading the gospel?
Exactly.
So. But he's moving on to other things, and so I was trying to think, you know, if there's anybody that just come to mind that that could possibly fill these shoes, you know. And Don and Judy came to mind. And Don's always very eager to do anything and everything that is asked of him. And By accident, I got a hold of Judy first. And I told her that I was glad that I got a hold of her, because I thought it might be a good idea if I asked her if they actually had the space and everything to do this, because I knew Don would agree to it no matter what. And so after talking to Judy, she said that no, that they did have the room and that she thought it'd be a good thing. And I was able to get a hold of Don then, and he was excited about taking it over. So the shipment of the equipment has already happened, and will be arriving in Billings, Montana. Actually, it's scheduled to arrive tomorrow. And then there'll be some other things followed up, and we'll be cranking out the convention CDs and everything else. Then we are sorry for the delay, but it was unavoidable. And but we are going to be on track in a real big way now, with Don giving his undivided attention to the duplication and to receiving the orders and to getting them shipped out with Judy's help also. So a good thing.
And that will, that also includes the thank you gifts, ladies and gentlemen, thank you CDs for the recent pledge drive. So just to hang in there, and as we start cranking these out, as always, we'll let you know the status of things. And if you don't get your CDs in a timely fashion, just please feel free to be in touch with us. But we want you to be in touch with us tonight to participate in the webcast. It always takes that first person to get on the phone to get the ball rolling. Who will it be tonight? 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. 3260 is the Blunkline online toll-free hotline. So speaking about a person that's been in touch, we had a email that went out that quoted a consistent critic of ours, Daniel Miles, who, if you read the email, you know that Daniel from time to time has not only been critical of us, but has written these rambling emails that are sometimes very hard to figure out what he's saying. But in this case, he called us a halfway house. He called the Gospel Revolution a halfway house. And the implication there, Michael, is that we're only halfway there in our understanding of God's grace and love for all of humanity. And our comment was, we don't even think that we're a tenth of the way there. In fact, you said before that we're probably still in kindergarten and that we haven't really scratched the surface as to what the implication is of all of humanity being made righteous in the eyes of God. Now, we know that the end result is that everybody goes to heaven and that everybody is at peace with God. But what do you mean specifically when you say we haven't scratched the surface, that we're in kindergarten, that maybe we have just enough freedom from freedom's rope, if you will, to hang ourselves?
Well, it's I think that really is the case. And surmising from Paul talking about the power of the gospel and implying that there really is an impacting effect, which all of us who individually have experienced the freedom of the gospel, we know that power. I think to some degree, and I would have to say to everyone that I include myself in that, I think I know the power of the gospel to some degree. But the implication that the gospel and its maturity in the heart has a profound effect, not just on individuals, but in collectively, in a collective consciousness, I think just has potential that is beyond anything that we could imagine, and maybe a lot of the things that that most of the world has almost feared to hope for, that in the awareness of redemption and the awareness of unity and oneness in the eyes of God, I don't think that we could possibly imagine the impact that that would have on the planet. Because as I said, I don't think that those of us individually who've experienced the freedom of the gospel, you know, the fact is that I'm looking forward to a generation who never had to unlearn Christianity to be able to accept the gospel.
Right. Well, and this last week, where this all, I mean, Michael and I have talked about this frequently, but in this last week when I was ill and I was retracing my steps as to what led to me being knocked out for a week, Michael really chastened me in a very loving way, in his very typical accepting, and suggested that maybe I was drawn to certain behavior or certain people, even not as a result of, or the illness was not a result of those things, but I was drawn to those things because of where I was at mentally, emotionally, etc. And here was the key, Michael. You applied, even maybe not even on purpose, but just coming out of the issues of your heart, you applied the gospel to my situation personally, said, don't judge it. Don't try to do anything about it. Don't criticize it. Don't criticize yourself. As opposed to people saying, come on, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. And when people do that and people are out of sorts or are ill, a lot of times it adds pressure to them that actually causes the situation to be worse. And I really felt that in a lot of ways that was tremendous insight and advice in my own little situation. And it may give us a glimpse of the kind of freedom that will produce more stabilization of people's hearts and lives and their physical bodies.
Well, I think so. And, you know, during our conversation, I made the comment about the, you know, the fact is that, you know, even the children of Israel, when they came out of the bondage of Egypt, I mean, what a celebratory, say the word for me.
Celebratory.
Celebratory. I've used that word often, and I've been trying to say Blagojevich too much, so.
We'll talk about Rob Blagojevich.
Yeah, so now I can't say anything. So, anyway, but the children of Israel came out of bondage, and they were free.
Yeah, and that is such a tremendous foreshadowing of the redemption. You know, Jesus, of course, said that all that stuff was about him. Here, Israel, in bondage for 400 years, after the death of the firstborn from Egypt, in just one night, they're free. And then they're just days away from the promised land. Just days, a day's walk, a few days walk. And they roam in the wilderness completely lost in a state of freedom for 40 years. And what we said on the email, and what you've commented on before, is we may just be right in the middle of just wandering in the wilderness for a while. At least we know we're free, though.
Taking one more lap around. Yeah, you know, freedom is everything. If you ever notice, the power of the gospel is the freedom that it brings. And that freedom, there is no other purpose. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He didn't free us to be servants. He didn't free us to be productive. He didn't free us so we could be what he wanted us to be. He freed us so we could be free. And all through my years in understanding the gospel, everything around me, every doctrine around me, and many people around me have done everything within their power to try to change the end result rejoicing of the gospel. And that is that the goal was that I might be free. And that term free literally means, the Greek word, literally means to be made exempt from law and, from mortal law and from, ceremonial law. That we literally are free from that. And it is for that purpose that he freed us, was to free us from law. Now, the implication of that on the heart, though, I don't think that there is really a way to measure that. I think it probably is fathomless as to what it would be. But I do believe that with as much as I have the ability, and even as goes beyond my ability, which is most every time that I teach, I feel that I go way beyond my own ability to teach. And I do rely on the Holy Spirit to be the great teacher. And I personally benefit from my own teaching while I'm teaching. And the only thing I can do is say that because I don't know how to explain it. And I know that there are many of you that understand what I'm saying because you've experienced it. But that issue of absolute freedom and it, again, becoming collectively understood in society, I just don't think there's a way to measure that. But no doubt that we are just simply scratching the surface of this magnificent revelation of the gospel. And, you know, I've accepted years ago that I may never see the full impact that this gospel can have in our society, in our nation, and in the nations of the world, or even in my own life. I might not even see the full impact of it even in my own life. But I do this because I feel very confident that it is the future. And it is the part of me that's connected to this planet that will continue on even after I'm not a part of this planet anymore. And I don't know of anything else I could do that would leave me a part of this planet other than the fact that I have children. But to have the opportunity to actually influence in the most positive way that could possibly be done the consciousness of the planet, I think, is through the gospel. We've been really, really afforded an opportunity here to share this and to be a part of something I think is going to, and as it already has in our individual lives, but I think around the globe has the power to revolutionize in such a way and create a future that is unparalleled in the history of the world.
Well, one thing's for sure is that the articulation of fundamentalism and Christianity and evangelicalism has not helped. It is it's a perversion. It is a schizophrenic concept of saying, on the one hand, you're saved through grace alone, through the unconditional acceptance, except you can break fellowship with God through your behavior or even through your thoughts. And so if there's anything that history has proven out over the last 2,000 years is that Christianity is not it. And we feel like we're on the path. We're glad to have you along with us. And we are asking you for your participation on the webcast. We're asking your participation by emailing your comments and even your criticisms. And we read them, and we're open to them, and we ask you to participate financially. But get on the phone right now at 1-800-436-3260. Let us hear from you tonight. If it's about 25 minutes after the hour, you're listening live on Wednesday night in the United States or wherever you're listening throughout the world, and we want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260, and want to welcome in our leader of music and our Cincinnati, Ohio correspondent for the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Greg Amberg. Gregory!
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. How are you?
I'm clearing a paper jam.
Hey, Gregory.
I have ink all over my hand.
You're dual tasking?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so busy. I feel like I'm gaining weight. I feel like I'm getting so fat, Earl Shive wouldn't paint me for $89.
Michael, do you know who Earl Shive is?
Yes, I've heard of that.
Why don't you explain to our worldwide audience, Gregory, who Earl Shive is?
When I was a kid, Earl Shive used to, he was this guy who would, he had a kind of a real low-end discount auto body shops nationwide, and he would guarantee he could paint your car for $89, but the big models, they charged a little extra for. And so I think I'm becoming a big model. I gotta get myself under control here.
Well, you need to go on the program that Michael's gone on. He reported earlier to me that in the last 3 days he's lost 15 pounds of fat and 4 inches around his waist in 4 days or in 3 days.
Well, Mike's a power lifter.
Yeah, though. but Michael has been eating every 2 hours for the last 72 hours.
And see, that's what my wife keeps telling me I need to do is more small meals and less, you know, one
meal. Oh, yeah.
That's how I look at information. You know, when I do my life coaching and my consulting, I found over the years that if you give people too much, it literally makes them lethargic and stresses them out. But little bits of information can energize a person and gives people more momentum and lift them versus like after the Thanksgiving meal, you know, everybody wants to take a nap because they've been so overloaded. So
yeah.
Let's not overload folks tonight, Greg, but I know you've got some pearls of wisdom.
Well, you started out on the one thing that I am so passionate about. I mean, if you're going to talk about end times prophecy, I'm calling.
Okay.
Because that crap ruined the first half of my life. Not ruined it, but it highly affected the first half of my life.
Me too.
And I am so happy to be free from that crap. I'd probably use stronger language than crap if I was alone. But I was taught from the time I was old enough to remember that I would never reach adulthood.
Yeah.
that I'd never get married, I'd never have kids, I'd never graduate from college. There was no reason to save for, and as I got older, these things all just changed. There's no reason to save any money. There's no reason to prepare for retirement because Jesus is coming back any day now, and we're going to be raptured away, and you know, all these tribulation scenarios are going to play out. And I studied that stuff. I knew it backwards and forwards. And I always had problems with Daniel's 70th week and Jesus saying this generation will not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And I am so thankful that some of the teaching that Mike had about prophecy being fulfilled in Jesus just I was already kind of over the hump, but that really got me to understand how unbelievably stupid that stuff is, and to get young kids to totally believe they don't have to study in school because they're never going to graduate from high school. I mean, ridiculous things.
Yeah,
is that my
it
rant?
Is, you know, it's you would think that was just isolated cases, but around the world there is a large number of people who teach their children that way, and large yes. churches who teach their children that way.
The Left Behind series, well, they sell 2 million books every time they put a book out.
Oh, absolutely.
And people are buying those for their kids.
Right, and the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye is fiction. They admit it's fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be based on their interpretation of Scripture, but they do admit it's fiction. But it's more than fiction. It's bullcrap.
Yes, absolutely.
And if anybody that's out there listening and you have questions, you've been raised with this, you have questions about this kind of stuff, I'll talk about it all day long. Email me.
Yes.
At gregamberge@yahoo.com. I would love to tell you what I know about it and just because I grew up in it and I know how people think that grow up in it, and it's a sad trap.
Well, you know, Michael, if they start out from just a completely false premise that Christ is coming back to the earth. You take
and he's mad.
Yeah.
And he's mad, yeah.
And he's coming to judge the wicked.
Yes. Yeah, no, it really is. It's a torturesome belief system. I too was one of those and was obsessed with end time doctrine. I did learn it to its most finite detail. I was pre-trib and post-trib and mid-trib, and I have believed all of those emphatically in the process of my life, because I so wanted to understand the end times. I remember when I first started teaching with any clarity on this about the end of the world, and it was this situation that sparked me on to go on deeper into the things of like the fulfillment of all prophecy and things that Greg is talking about. This has been a number of years ago up in Canada. It's probably pressing toward 10 years ago, and I had done a meeting, and I did not remember this particular kid being there, I don't think, and then I went back and did a week-long conference, and there was a gentleman that showed up with his 15-year-old son at that time, and the boy had... The boy and his father were just sitting in the meetings. I did not remember the father for sure. I may have remembered the son from the other meetings from a year before. But I got through just about two or three of the sessions of it was a long week, and the father stopped me in the hallway and asked if he could speak with me just a moment, introduced himself, and he said, "Mr. Williams," he said, "I had to talk to you just a moment." He said, "I've been enjoying what you've said." He said, a year ago," he said, "my son, who's here with me, was 14 years old, and we were having real problems, and said that, you know, he said, we've raised him in a Christian home, church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and really felt we were bringing him up in a very healthy Christian home, and he was being taught the Bible and to its extent, and the end time doctrines and everything. And he said, but my son, before he was 14 years old, started developing some rather strange behaviors, and said that he would walk back and forth through their home just wringing his hands and just pacing the floor. And they said that they would even get up in the middle of the night and he would be doing that and unable to sleep and being wakened by nightmares and all of this stuff. And he said, last year, he said, my son went to visit his friend and spent the weekend, and said, unbeknownst to us, they were attending your conference that weekend, and they brought him. And he said, I have to tell you, had we known that they were going to take him to your conference, said, we would have forbidden him to go. And he said, I'm just so thankful that we did not know that that was what was going to happen. He said, because my son attended your meeting, and he said that he came back home, and he said from that day forward, he found out that he had come to my meeting, and he said from that very day forward that the ringing of the hands, the walking back and forth through the house pacing, the nightmares and the sleeplessness, stopped for a full year. And it was one of the first sessions that he sat in on that I taught about the end of the world and let them know that the end of the world had already taken place. And that was when this young man's life was changed. And there was no encounter, there was no altar call, we didn't cast demons out of him, we didn't pray for him. He just heard that the end had already taken place. So I had touched on that subject again to some degree there at this conference that I was doing. And at the end of it, we passed the mic around, as we did so much during that time, let everybody say anything that they wanted to say. And the very last person to take the mic was this 15-year-old boy. I asked him, I said, well, what did you get out of the conference? And he just said one sentence, and he said, I have a future. And it fell on that crowd like thunder, and just cracking through that room, that this child was able to speak for the first time in his life outside of Christianity, in the influence of the gospel, and say that what had happened to him was that he now had hope and belief that he had a future. Because, like Greg said, so many of us, our futures was robbed us. Most of us are having to learn how to live as adults, things that we should have learned how to live as children, because that was robbed from us. That was taken from us. Our mentality was completely terminal. We had no forethought of planning or thinking ahead or dreaming about the future. And you're right, Greg. It's hideous, because you've got to understand it robs children of their dreams and their hopes and their aspirations.
You know, this guy Barry Smith that Greg was referencing at the beginning of our conversation. Not only did he talk about the end times and the terms that you guys are talking about, and that this was going to happen within his lifetime, he passed away just months after this video that God TV showed this week. But he, in the same vein, you guys, he commissioned the fathers for the responsibility of the eternal salvation of their wives and their children. Remember that old teaching? That fathers were responsible for their kids and their wives covering. In other words, transferring the glory and the responsibility of their salvation from Christ to mortal men.
My father was responsible for my eternal salvation. My heavenly father.
Come on now, preach, brother.
Complete responsibility for that little problem there.
Yeah.
And took care of it.
Well, it is definitely a it is a torment, and I think that Greg, appreciate you calling in, because I think sometimes it slips from our minds the impact of the things that we've been freed from, these things, but I think sometimes we don't stop and rejoice about the power of that. My God, I was just thinking. I remember in the week before last broadcast, Rowan and Diane Raphael called in and pledged for the our pledge drive. And I remember Rowan telling me, how that it tormented him. And I so many of these people, and I really do believe that there's a great number of us that, because we had so much robbed, that it's almost like we're looking around, like thinking, still almost in shock, like we're not supposed to be here. It's almost like you feel like you're not supposed to be here, because as children, we were programmed. We were literally programmed to believe that we would never be adults. We would never have to take responsibility.
Right.
We would never, ever have to go to school. We would never have to get an education. We would never have to, get busy and raise a family. That we would never have to do any of those things or take any sort of adult responsibility. And I think that it has its impact. I think that there's many of us, including myself, that I don't think we really know the impact, because it's so distorted maybe even gave us such a false view of the future that even as our childhood was continuing on, that the part that we were growing up physically, but that part where dreams and aspirations and all of those things take place, they were just dwarfed.
And so the responsibility of where it should lie for a parent was diminished because of that, and the responsibility that we should never have had to bear. You talk about a destructive pattern of thinking.
Absolutely.
Of having the eternal souls of your spouses and your children at stake. You talk about some really dysfunctional families out there, and we see the fruit of it in our society today. And it doesn't make a difference how religious a family is. Everybody has been impacted by it. I saw Keith Olbermann on MSNBC this week condemn President Bush and his administration to a special place in hell because of their foreign policy. I don't know that you would call Keith Olbermann a right-wing Christian fundamentalist.
No.
And yet he was invoking hell for the behavior of the 43rd president of the United States. Not real healthy dialogue there. All right, Gregory, anything else on this fine Wednesday evening?
That's all I have. We'll leave it for somebody else.
All right, Greg Ambergy, AMBURGY, at yahoo.com. And mix in a salad here and there, okay?
We'll see you later.
Love you.
Bye, Greg.
There's Greg Ambergy, our Cincinnati, Ohio correspondent for the Gospel Revolution, with some great insight as always. The phone line's available for you, 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Still plenty of time to get in on this edition of Glenn Klein Online. Sean O'Halloran waiting to take your calls. Michael Williams waiting to take your comments and thoughts. 1-800-436-3260, or email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Here's a great email from John Douglas Clark, who also contributed. We want to thank him very much for his $100 contribution to the fall pledge drive. But John says, Michael, I again realized that the tabernacle was us. And when the curtain was torn, Christ could walk into each of us and every human heart. What do you see in that, Michael? Every time I picture the beautiful gold embroidered curtains inside the tabernacle and temple, I see how beautiful God made each of us, how perfect and holy.
just some thoughts to make a heart leap with joy.
Oh, almost definitely. I've never thought about that, but it certainly beats having to invite Jesus into your heart. I kind of like the analogy that he kind of tore the curtain apart and came in. So he invited himself in, and because that's exactly what the human race needed. I certainly don't disagree with the analogy out of the temple and the curtain being rent into, for sure. I believe that is the means by which, at the very same time, of course, on the cross, we went into Christ and Christ came into us. So it definitely is a very good parallel to acknowledge and as you say, brings about an awful lot of rejoicing for sure.
Well, and also, we are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. And
yes,
so there's a direct analogy there. When that occurred, as we talked about on a previous show, that is when the temple was destroyed. The functionality of that place, even if a third temple was built, it would just it might as well be a brothel. I mean, it would have absolutely nothing to do with the scriptures, with the plan of God, with righteousness. It would just be a man-made. It would be. It wouldn't be any more viable than the places that the modern pastors call the house of God. That temple in Jerusalem, if it was rebuilt, would be no more a house of God than all these macaca churches all over the world.
Well, and the same is that it was no longer the house of God or tied to anything revelatory about the scriptures. After the cross, even though the physical temple was still standing there, it was irrelevant. The temple became completely irrelevant, and I think that that's the thing where that it's become so easy to look at these things is to understand that these are not, the revelation of the gospel is not our view and opinion of God and the way things are. It's God's view and opinion of us and the way they are. And that really is very true, as we brought that up a few weeks ago, you know, that that building that was left standing was completely irrelevant. It had nothing to do with Scripture. It had nothing to do with prophecy. It had nothing to do with people. It had nothing to do with God. It was just a building. And like you said, it might as well have been a brothel after Jesus died on the cross and that veil was rent in two.
Well, we've talked about the analogy between prostitution, physical sexual prostitution, and religious prostitution. It's, you know, with the situation with Governor Blagojevich in Illinois, they call it pay to play.
Right.
And that's what religion is. You pay to play. You pay to be blessed. You pay to be in right standing with God. Creflo Dollar this week saw him say, "I can tell where a man's heart is just by looking at his checkbook. It, wherever he's writing or she is writing their checks, that's where their heart is." I mean, you talk about a condemning. I'll bet you anything, and he preached real good. He's real good, Creflo Dollar. He's smooth. I'll bet you he had a very nice offering taken after that message.
Yeah, people doing some emergency cleanup work, you know, trying to make sure that at least as a response to the sermon that they were not resisting God at the moment.
They had this mega church in Detroit on Sunday, in praying for the bailout. They brought in three SUVs, three white SUVs, and the pastor was clear to say that they were white, to represent not surrender, but victory. They bring these three SUVs, stick them on top of the platform, and the guy was on CNN.
Yep.
And talking about, and they came and they anointed the cars, and then people came up to the altar praying that Congress would pass a bailout for the big three automakers in Detroit. And here's what the CNN reporter said, Michael. Of course, CNN is in Atlanta, Georgia. That at one point, Governor Sonny Perdue of Georgia, in the middle of their drought, prayed for rain, and it rained. And so maybe this would help. You talk about this kind of craziness infiltrating every... This is on CNN, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting all over the world, reaching more people than God TV, even. 1-800-436-3260. We may be in the wilderness, and we admit it. We may be just wandering lost, as free as we might be. But at least we can recognize this kind of insanity and say that, you know what, we ain't in Egypt anymore.
We know bondage when we see it.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. This email came in from our good buddy Chris Harrington. He and Glenda participated in the Gospel Revolution Convention. He says, I have often wondered when people say that God has set them free, what exactly they got freed from. If they are free from sin, then they should be able to say that they don't sin anymore. But I think this is going nowhere fast. If they are set free from hell, then they must be heading to hell to begin with. And so now we are back to the first comment. What exactly are people free from to do? And what does this mean in practical terms without having to wait to see how all this turns out someday way down the road? Good for you, Chris. way to challenge us. All right, Michael, what are we freed from?
Well, we're freed from the law. And that is what we were freed from, and his question, really does encapsulate what we have been talking about.
Right, exactly. Well, here's what he says. He says, if we're free from sin, then we should be able to say that we don't sin anymore. But he says, I don't think this is going anywhere fast.
Mm-hmm.
Are we free from sin, Michael? Do we sin anymore?
Yes, we are free from sin, and no, we do not sin anymore. There is no way that you can violate something that is not there. Sin is based on two things. One is the disobedience of Adam, which Jesus repaired that completely, which was the sin of unbelief. And even most Bible scholars agree on that, that Adam's sin was unbelief. And Jesus freed us from that, and freed us from that sin. The only other sin is called the transgression of law. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. So we cannot participate or partake of the first Adam's disobedience, and we cannot break a law that is not there. So yes, we are completely freed from sin, and we cannot sin. It is not even possible to do such a thing. Now, if you want to use that terminology in relationship to how we treat each other, and say, I sinned against you, and I can ask you to forgive me, which I'm all for that. I think that actually we can actually be in empowered to address difficult situations if we know that there is no such thing as sin between us and God. I really don't use that term when I'm talking to people about those things because the term has been it's not that it's been misused, it's just that it's been used in reference as though it still exists. And if sin still exists, there is no such thing as the gospel. And here is the big departure, and I really wanted to emphasize this just a little bit earlier too, and we've come full circle back to this. And I want people to really understand, Glenn, that I don't take it lightly at all. And it's not just a knock against traditional religion or Christianity to delineate between Christianity and the gospel. I think it's absolutely vitally important that we understand that Christianity and the gospel are two separate entities. They completely are. That Christianity does not encompass the gospel, and the gospel does not validate Christianity. And in fact, they are two completely separate things. And if we are embracing what we understand to be Christianity, which is man's pursuit of his own righteousness, whether in his works or his own belief in God, then we literally have taken the gospel out of the equation. Because that's what Christianity teaches from stem to stern, whether it's from the Pope in Rome or from Tulsa, Oklahoma. It doesn't make any difference to which end of the spectrum it comes from. And but to understand the power of the gospel, we're really going to have to be able to lay down our quote our Christian roots.
Right, and that was so vital at the convention when I asked you during the Glenn Klein Online with the in-studio audience, do you still consider yourself a Christian? And you said to that question, Carlton said yes, and it was strictly based on his heritage.
Yes.
And you said no. And where Chris Harrington says he doesn't think that saying that we don't have sin anymore is going anywhere fast. Well, it may not be going anywhere fast. It doesn't make it any less true, though.
Yes, absolutely. So, and I think that, again, I mean, even Chris's question really speaks volumes about where we are. And again, it gives us the opportunity to say we've only scratched the surface here. And but I also would caution everyone in trying to figure out what the destination is. The only thing you can do at this point is really enjoy the journey. Because, folks, I don't know what the destination is other than our eternal destination.
Exactly. And the journey and the analogy to the children of Israel, they had some wild stuff happen in the wilderness. I mean, they had manna fallen from heaven. Their clothes never got old. Their shoes never got worn. I mean, some wild good stuff was happening even when they were just walking around completely lost.
Yes.
And, this is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a dress rehearsal. And so one of the things as far as where is this going to go, well, one thing we know is that we're on the journey. And like Michael, like you said, we might as well enjoy it. This is it.
Yeah.
But the promised land, as far as those of us who understand the gospel, is the same ultimate result for those that are in complete misunderstanding. Complete misunderstanding.
Everybody, as far as eternity is concerned.
Everybody is part of the family of God.
Absolutely.
Everybody is a child of God. A lot of people, even we can say it this way, most people don't know it. But it doesn't change their status with God one iota. We've been coming to you tonight in the wake of this really outrageous scandal just brewing in both Mike and my home state of Illinois with the Illinois governor, Rob Blagojevich. And the stuff that they have him recorded saying is really some vile, just really nauseating stuff, wanting to sell the Senate seat that was vacated by President-elect Obama. And just some really outrageous, corrupt. If you wrote it in a Sopranos episode, it wouldn't be believable. This guy was so brazen. Michael, is Rob Blagojevich going to heaven?
You know, Brother Rob, I can tell you for sure that you are righteous. You're not only going to heaven, but right now in your cocky little arrogant state of being.
With your 1980s haircut.
Yes, you are completely righteous and holy. And perfect in the eyes of God. Now, we already know that Brother Ron's view of himself is pretty highly esteemed already. But God has an even higher opinion of you than any opinion that you might have of yourself. And that is good news. That's good news for him. And, you know, the one thing about good news, it's not good news for any of us unless it's good news for all of us.
You just wonder if Rob Blagojevich or if Barry Smith, or even you could say it this way, if Glenn Klein or Michael Williams or Greg Ambergy at all truly understood our true standing with God, the impact that it would have on our thinking and therefore our behavior. But we don't know where it's leading, ladies and gentlemen, here on the planet. There's some tough days ahead, no doubt. But things, if you track the progress of the human experience on a linear graph, one, even the most, what's the word that I'm looking for?
I'm not sure.
The most disillusioned person would have to look at the graph and say, things have improved on the planet.
Yeah.
Overall, with all the crap that goes on, with all the unbelievable suffering and tragedies that are occurring as we speak, that overall in the human experience, more people are free today, not enslaved, women have more rights, people, we're about to inaugurate a man of color to the presidency of the United States. If that's not progress, as far as the human experience is concerned, I don't know what is. Forget about the politics of it. Here's a guy that would have been a slave 150 years ago, and he's going to be the president of the country. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
That's good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That's progress in a manifested way. The fact that my wife, Dawn, is able to work, a woman to have a job and to have equal rights in a society, that's progress. The fact that we're debating right now, and the cast has already been laid, it's already been set, that people of different sexual tendencies and sexual orientations are considered equal in our societies that are in Western culture. That argument is over. It's just a question of the workings out within the society. That's progress.
Absolutely.
You got a call, Michael?
I'm having to find the other phone. This one's dying. Hold on a second.
We've got a phone dying.
We talked that one to death.
All right. Well, we've come up against the clock, and we want to thank you for joining us. Let us hear from you this week at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and join us next week. Michael, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Glenn, very much.
Yeah, and it's time for another meal for you probably right around now.
It's getting close.
All right, we want to thank Sean O'Halloran for engineering, producing this effort, and thanks for Greg Ambergy from Cincinnati for calling in on this Wednesday night. Thank you for participating, for supporting, and stay with us. And if there's anything we can do for you, we're just an email away, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.